This is my text for the morning message. It's found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I'm speaking this morning on the subject, the web of hypocrisy. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. I'd like for you to take your Bibles, if you will, and open them with me to the book of 1 John. I'll be reading several verses of Scripture, and I'd like very much for you to look at them while I read them to you and while I speak from them. Now, there are three outstanding characteristics of the Epistle of John. Now, we're not talking about the book of John, but we're talking about the first general Epistle of John, back in the back of the Bible, near the book of Revelation. This is 1 John, the Epistle of John. And there are three outstanding characteristics of this epistle written by the Apostle John. Number one, it is written in the simplest words. Simple, easy to understand words. You'd never know that the writer of this epistle wrote the book of Revelation, because the words are so simple and so easy to understand. They're written so that you and I can understand them. And the second general characteristic of the book of John is the epistle is written in the spirit of love. Every line is seasoned with love. John tries every profession by the rule of love. He measures every claim to the test of love. Every claim is submitted to the test of love. Do we love Christ? Do we love one another? And the third characteristic of the book of John, number one, it's written in the simplest words. Any person can read this book. And secondly, it is seasoned with love. Love is on every page. Love is almost in every verse. And then thirdly, all through the Epistle of John, John seeks to unravel the web of hypocrisy. He will not suffer us to be deceived. John insists, and he's writing this to church members. He's writing this to believers. He's writing this to people who claim to know Jesus Christ, who claim to be saved by His blood and by His grace. And he insists, John insists, all the way through this book, and I'm going to give you several examples. John insists that every professor of religion, every professor of Christ, deal with the difference in saying a thing and experiencing it. There is a difference. There's a difference in saying something and really experiencing that thing. And John insists that we deal with the difference between a claim to grace and the reality of grace. Claiming to have the grace of God and in reality experiencing the grace of God. Now let me give you several examples. Do you have your Bible open? Turn to 1 John chapter 1. And look first of all at verse 6. That's the text that I just read a few moments ago. If we say, and notice each time when he begins these sentences, he starts with, if we say, or he that saith. Now, there's a difference in saying a thing and experiencing it. There's a difference in professing and possessing. There's a difference in a claim and a reality. And that's what we're going to see. And this is what John is talking about. He's unraveling the web of hypocrisy. He insists that we deal with this thing. He insists that we deal with a claim or an experience. He insists that we put ourselves in front of the Word of God and find out if our profession is genuine. Now listen to it. If we say that we have fellowship with Christ and walk, now notice the word walk, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now what is a walk? When we talk about a man's walk, well, a walk is the general trend of a person's life. We're talking about the general trend of his life. We're talking about the bent of his will, his general direction. Now, I know believers who walk in the light may stumble. They may step in darkness. They may fall. They may sin. But that's not the general trend of their lives. That's not the bent of their will. The general trend of their lives is holiness and righteousness and honesty and love and godliness. Even the man who walks in darkness, the man who's the general trend of his life, the bent of his will, is darkness, hatred, bigotry, prejudice, lust, envy, jealousy. That may be his whole life. Occasionally, he'll do something good. Occasionally, he'll step in the light. Occasionally, he'll do something commendable. Occasionally, he'll do something to brag about, you know, some good principle or some humanitarian act. But the general trend of his life is hatred and evil and sin and wickedness. That's the bent of his will. That's the direction he's going. Now, here's what John is saying. If you say that you have fellowship with Christ, and the general bent of your will and the general trend of your life is rebellion and dishonesty and lies and hatred and this sort of behavior, you're lying, and you do not do the truth. You see what I'm saying? If we say that we have fellowship with Christ and we walk in darkness, the general trend of our lives is disobedience to God's word. We're not telling the truth. Now, look at 1 John 1:8. He says, if we say, and there's that term again, if we say we have no sin, and notice that word sin is singular. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. No man is free from the nature of sin. I hear people talking about the old nature being eradicated. My friend, not on this earth. In glory, yes. When we're made like Christ, yes, but not on this earth. This old nature of sin, this original sin, this evil nature we received from our father Adam. And it's a nature and a root and a principle that is in every son of Adam and every daughter of Adam. Even those who've been born again know that they have a fleshly nature. Yes, they have a new nature. They have a nature born of God. They've got a righteous nature and a holy nature, a divine nature, but they've also got a fleshly nature. And Paul said, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that you cannot do the things that you will. To deny original sin, to deny the fall in Adam, to deny the nature of sin, John says here, is to be deceived, and is to be filled with lies. I can't stand before this television camera and look out over this audience and say that I have no sin. And you can't say that either if you tell the truth. The thought of foolishness is sin. We know that we have in our hearts, in our imaginations, our attitudes, our motive, we have within us the principle of sin. It doesn't reign, but it does remain. It doesn't rule, but it is present. And we cope with it. We deal with it every day. As John Wesley used to say, every morning when I get up, I pray, Lord, keep me from sin. Before I retire at night, I say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Yes, we have a nature. Paul the Apostle wrote this, the things that I would do, I do them not. The things I would not do, I do. He said, there's a law. I find a law within me, warring against the Spirit of God within me. And it's true of every person. But if a man says he is not by nature a sinner, that he does not have a fleshly nature, that he does not cope with and wrestle with and is not confronted with sin in his nature. He's a liar, John said. The truth is not in him. He's deceived. Now look at verse 10. 1 John 1:10. If we say, there's that word again. If we say that we have not sinned, S-I-N-N-E-D, we have not sinned, we make God a liar. And his word is not in us. Now here's what John is saying. Those who profess purity and freedom from all sin blaspheme God. If we say we have not sinned, I mean this day. If we say we have not sinned this week, if we say we have not sinned this month, why, we're making God a liar. For throughout his word, he pictures all men as sinners. He says there's none good. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. They're all gone out of the way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. Listen to Isaiah. When he saw the Lord, he said, oh, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Not I used to be. I was at one time. I am now. I'm a man of unclean lips. Listen to David, the man after God's own heart. Psalm 51, his psalm of repentance. My sins are ever before me. Listen to the Apostle Paul. I'm the least of all the saints. Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not I was. I am chief. And you'll find that the opinion and the attitude of every man in God's Word. And John says in 1 John 2:9, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But my friend, to say I have not sinned, I make God a liar. If I say I have no sin, no fleshly nature, no evil nature to contend with, well, I've deceived myself and the truth's not in me. But if I say I have not sinned, if I dare to boldly declare to the people of this world in a dishonest fashion, I have not sinned, well, I make God a liar. And His Word does not dwell in me. That's serious, isn't it? Now look at 1 John 2:4. He that saith, there's that word again. He that saith, it's not true necessarily. It may not be true, but this is what he says. You can say a thing and not experience it. He that saith, I know him, I know Christ, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth not in him. My friend, a person who says, I know the Lord, I'm acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ, and has no love for his word, and has no love and regard for his teachings and for his commandments, the commandments of Christ, that man's a liar. The truth of the gospel is not in him at all. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He loves Christ. He loves Christ's word. He loves Christ's commandments. He loves Christ's teachings. He loves Christ's law. He loves Christ's church. He loves Christ's people. He's a new creature. And the law of Christ is his rule of behavior, the law of Christ. And our Lord said that law is summed up in two. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now look at 1 John 2:9. He that saith, here we go again. He that saith, 1 John 2:9. He that saith, he is in the light. He's in the light. That is the light of illumination, the light of understanding, the light of faith, the light of the gospel. He that saith that he's in the light and hates his brother, he's in darkness still, even until now. The man who says that he's been illuminated by the Holy Ghost, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, he walks in the light of the gospel, understanding, and hates anyone. Now watch this. Hates his brother. We're all brothers by creation. I'm not teaching the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man. I'm simply saying that we're all brothers by creation. All brothers by creation. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, we're brothers by creation. We came from one daddy, Adam. And then they're brothers in regeneration. They're brothers in the family of God. And this is not just family love here. This is love for all people. In other words, what John is saying here is that love, the love of Christ, and the hatred of the flesh cannot rule in the same heart. It is impossible. It is impossible. I'm not saying that a man never gets angry. I'm not saying that he never gets upset. I'm not saying that he never disagrees with a person. But to hate that person, to hate is impossible where the love of Christ dwells, where the love of Christ reigns. That's what he's saying here. The man that says he's in the light and hates his brother, wishes his brother evil, and wishes him misfortune, why, he's in darkness. He always has been in darkness. He never has been in the light of Christ. He's in the light of religion or denominationalism or sectarianism or some other kind of ism. But he's not in the light of regeneration, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And we love men. We love the family of God. And we're supposed to love, according to the Word of God, even our enemies. We wish them no unhappiness. We wish them no misfortune. We wish them the blessings and grace and mercy of God. And if you cannot wish a man the blessings and mercy and happiness of God, there's something wrong in your own heart. That's what John said. Now look at 1 John 4:20. If a man say, and you see, this is what I told you to begin with. This gospel, you understand what I'm saying, and I do too. This epistle is written in the simplest terms, and it's seasoned with love, and it untangles the web of hypocrisy. It sits in judgment on every one of us. It makes us weigh our profession and examine our claim and put our profession to the test of this word right here. If a man say, I love God. I love God. And we hear a lot of that, don't we? I love God. I love Jesus. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Now, John doesn't mince words, does he? He doesn't mince words. He comes out clearly and says what he thinks and what God has revealed to him. He's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen. Now watch this carefully. Whom he hath seen. How can he love God whom he hath not seen? Nothing's more contradictory. Nothing's more contradictory. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, nothing's more contradictory. Not hot and cold or white and black. Nothing's more contradictory. What he's saying is this. For a man to say, I love God whom he's never seen. Whom he's never seen. And none of us have seen God. A lot of people claim to have visions, you know, but they've never seen God. God's revealed in his word. God's revealed in the book. But if a man says that I love God, whom he's never seen, and hates the image of God that's before his eyes. You see, man was created in the image of God, and especially in regeneration. We have been regenerated in the image of Christ, formed in the image of Christ. We have the Spirit of Christ. And for a man to say, I love God, whom he's never seen, and I hate the image of God that's before my eyes, well, that man's deceived. The Spirit of God does not dwell in him. Where Jesus Christ lives, love lives. Where Jesus Christ dwells, the Spirit of love dwells. Where Jesus Christ reigns, the grace of love will reign. Let us not be deceived. I know there's a lot of religion today and there's a lot of preaching going on. I hear a lot of it. And you're told to do certain things and you're guaranteed you'll be saved, guaranteed you'll be going to heaven, and guaranteed God will prosper you, and guaranteed God will heal you. Men can't guarantee you anything. God is the Savior. Christ is the Redeemer. Salvation is not the work of the handshake or the baptismal pool or some church or some denomination. Salvation is of the Lord. The salvation of the righteous is of God. And it's a regenerating work, and it's a miraculous work, and it's a mysterious work, and it's a new birth. It's a life-giving process that God performs in the heart of us. Let's not be deceived. Let's not be deceived. Let's not hide from the reality of Christ in the claims of religion, in the web of hypocrisy. A minister may say, God sent me, when in reality, Satan sent him. He's a false prophet. Many false prophets, our Lord said, shall arise. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, if it were possible, the very elect of God. And then a person in the church, a church member, may say, I'm a Christian. I know that I'm a Christian, and yet be a total stranger to the grace of God. Our Lord said to the most religious people of his day, you neither know me nor my Father. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Even to his disciples, he said, if I've been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me. My friend, eternal life is not to know there is a God. It's not to know about God. Eternal life is to know God. To know God. In a living, vital experience of faith. To know God. Eternal life is not just to call him Lord with your lips. And then your hearts be far from him. It's to know him in your heart. To love him in your heart. To have a vital living union with the Son of God in your heart. That's eternal life. Eternal life is not he that saith, I believe on the Son of God, hath everlasting life. Eternal life is this, he that believeth on the Son of God. Not he that saith, I believe, he that believeth. Eternal life is not to be involved in the form, ceremony, and ritualism of religion. I have some dear friends who are involved, terribly involved. Just completely taken up in the activities and the enthusiasm and the zeal of a denomination, of a program, or of a church. But I'm telling you, this is not eternal life. Eternal life is to be involved in a living union with a person called Jesus Christ, who is our living head and we're his body, who is the vine and we're the branch. That's to be redeemed. Who's the Lord and we're the servants. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed in you. That's eternal life. Don't be deceived, John says. He that saith. It's he that experienceth in his heart the love of Christ, the person of Christ, the union with Christ. Let me give you four or five things here now in 1 John chapter 4. Will you turn to the fourth chapter of John? And here John gives us some positive words about those who really know Christ. Not just say they know Him, but those who really know Him. Those who are His people, His sheep, His jewels, His body, His bride, His church, for whom He suffered. Here are four or five characteristics. 1 John 4, verse 6. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. Hear what John says? He that knoweth God heareth us. Now, he's not talking about us in the sense of you and me. I can't claim that kind of authority. I'm not saying that any man that's of God will hear me. He may hear another preacher. He may not hear me at all. He may hear another preacher, two or three other preachers. But John is speaking here as an apostle of Christ, as a writer of Holy Scriptures. And he's saying the same thing that he said in John chapter 8. He that is of God heareth God's word. That's what John's saying. He that is of God heareth God's word. Now, I have set forth this morning some pretty strong statements from the Word of God. Now, if you're out there listening to this program, and this word makes you angry, and you rebel against it, and you say, I don't care what that says, that's not what I believe. You're not of God, because he that's of God heareth God's word. He receives the word. He lets the word sit in judgment on him. He doesn't sit in judgment on the word of God. He lets the word of God sit in judgment on him. The word convicts him and condemns him and converts him. But he says, I believe it. It's God's word. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It's verbally inspired. It's without error. And it's unbroken. And thy word, let God be true and every man a liar. There were three characteristics of the Reformation. Three basic principles of the Reformation. Christ alone, as opposed to any assistance or any help in the conversion of a sinner. Grace alone, as opposed to works. And the Scriptures alone, as opposed to the dogmas or books of men or the writings of men. The Bible alone. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The saved man hears God's word. That's what John's saying here. We are of God. He that knoweth God will hear us. He'll hear the word. All right, notice the next thing. 1 John 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Isn't that clear? He that loveth not. Now, all men love themselves. And all men love that which pertains to them. They love themselves and that which pertains to them. But to sincerely reach out in a genuine heart love to God and to His people and to all men, that's the gift of God. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You can teach doctrine, but you can't teach love. You can teach principles and convictions. You can teach standards of righteousness, but you can't teach love. You can teach tolerance. You can make folks put up with one another, but you can't teach them to love one another. This is the gift of God. This is the work of God. You see, we have to be changed. We by nature love ourselves and hate God. We've got to be changed. We've got to be brought to love God. And as Job said, I hate myself. I hate myself. I'm abased and humbled in God's presence. And my love reaches out to him. Now, if this love is missing, then God's not there. Whatever else is there, God's not there. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, listen to it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned as a martyr for what I believe and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And I know the emphasis today, the greatest of these is faith, the greatest of these is the power to heal, the greatest of these is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God. All right, watch 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Now the Spirit of Christ, I know, is the mind of Christ, the humility of Christ. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. The Spirit of Christ is also the love and compassion of Christ. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, if you love one another. And the Spirit of Christ is certainly the grace and forgiveness of Christ. He said, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And if you come to pray, he said, and remember that you have aught against your brother or he against you, you leave your gift at the altar and go make it right and then come pray, because God's not going to hear you when you're holding grudges and hatred in your heart. But in this text, it says, hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he's given us of his Spirit. We're talking there about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit regenerated us. The Holy Spirit revealed Christ to us. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, teacher, comforter, sealer. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. And the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ. Why are so many church members so hard to live with? Why are so many church members so hard to work with? Why are so many church members actually so hard to worship with? I'll tell you why. They have not the Spirit of Christ. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. This is so clear. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God will be our teacher in this hour and apply this message to my heart and to your heart and untangle for God's glory and for our eternal good that awful, deceptive web of hypocrisy.